All right, get your Bibles open, if you would, to the book of Matthew chapter. Matthew chapter 15 is where we'll take our text from. The book of Matthew chapter 15. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. I have enjoyed the preaching today. I've enjoyed the jokes. I've enjoyed the good laughter, amen. And I sure love your preacher, Brother Caldwell. He's a real blessing. And if you ever call him and don't have nothing to talk about, he'll take it up and he'll have plenty to talk about. Amen. I always love talking to Brother Caldwell. He always has something to say, and what he said has some weight to it. Seriously. Amen. No, you know that. Brother Caldwell always has something good to say, and I sure appreciate his spirit and how God has used him. Matthew chapter 15, if you would, church, let's read verses 21 through verses 28. I try to preach the thought that God has given me, and I'll try to move out of the way and let Brother Andy Wells come preach to us, challenge our heart as well. Without a doubt, I know that this is a message that God has for us tonight, and I hope that you allow God to speak to your heart, and we'll try to draw as much as we can out of this text with the amount of time that God has given us. Verse 21, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord. Thou son of David, my daughter, is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll take this portion of Scripture that you've laid upon our hearts as we have prayed over it, as we have studied and meditated on it, try to find out what you and the Spirit of God would have us to say to this group of people tonight in this church, that you would speak to our hearts and do a great work in us. I pray that the Spirit of the living God would be pleased to meet in our midst tonight. Do something great and something real, something lasting in our hearts, God. We need a touch from heaven. We need the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts. We need you tonight to reveal unto us areas in our life where we need help, where we can get help, and tonight that you would grant us help. I do pray, Lord, tonight for your people, that you would stir their heart up over the things of God, that we would get rid of our slothfulness and our lethargy in these last days that we live in, that we would be about like the Lord Jesus was, about our Father's business. I know there's much to be done for the sake and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that we'd feel the heaviness of that burden in these last days, knowing that we must redeem the time because the days are evil. I pray that you'd help us tonight. Again, I pray that you'd help me, God, as your servant, to preach that in which you've given me to preach tonight. Enable me, empower me. I pray for the unction that only the Holy Ghost of God can give. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. In this portion of Scripture tonight, we have read about this Canaanite woman from Canaan. We know that she is a Syrophoenician woman. The Bible tells us in the book of Mark, and we'll read that portion of Scripture in a minute. But I want to preach on this thought tonight, how to get divine deliverance. How to get divine deliverance. There's some things tonight, probably in every one of our lives, that truly, if we were real with God, we need some deliverance from some things tonight in our lives that have us bound, that may have a grip of us, maybe the sin that does so easily beset us, maybe the weights that we need to lay aside. And tonight there is deliverance that God can give and God desires to give. In this passage of Scripture, in verse 22, if you'll look at it, the Bible says that this woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. As she came out of the coast, she came for one reason. She came looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. She came looking for him. What made her look for him before we go any further? Turn, hold your place there and go to the book of Mark, if you would, chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 is the only other time in the Scripture this account is given. And in Mark chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible said, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid." Before I go any further, here's a good question. Hey, is the God of glory so real and so powerful in your house that it cannot be hid? That it's known that God is dwelling in your house? That Jesus Christ, the one who can do anything that is possible that we could even ask or think, the Bible said it was not even possible that he could be hid. His testimony of his power was so great and so real that even when he did not even want it to be known, it couldn't be helped but to be known. It ought to be that God is so real in your home that you couldn't hide it if you wanted to. Could not be hid. It's not the message, but let's move on. It said, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit." Can I say that uncleanness is always yoked to demonic activity? Uncleanness is always backed up by devilish, by the spirit of Satan and by the spirit of devils. The unclean spirit that she had, look at the Bible says, she heard of him and came and fell at his feet. You want to know why she came out of the coast looking for Jesus? Because there was somebody doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were testifying and witnessing of the power of the Savior. If there's people around us that are hurting in this world and bound in uncleanness and darkness and going to get delivered from bondage of darkness of sin, somebody's going to have to be talking about it.
Right.
Somebody's going to have to be testifying. Somebody's going to have to be witnessing. She had heard about all. She'd never seen him. She didn't know who he was. She had never put her eyes on him. The Bible says she had just heard of him. When I came to the house of God, I didn't know who he was, but I'd sure heard of him. I done heard a whole lot of him, a whole lot about him. And because what I heard about him is one day why I met him, why I wanted to meet him. I wanted to know who he was, but I'd heard enough about him, I wanted to meet this Savior. And you know, I met him at the foot of an old rugged cross, amen. The story I heard, and that he had resurrected to give me life eternal. And now that Savior that I heard about now lives in my heart, and he's real to me every day of my life. She heard of him. Scripture goes on to say, in this portion of Scripture in the book of Mark, that she fell at his feet. The Bible says the woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician. That means by nation she was a Gentile. She was a Gentile. She was not of the nation of Israel. The Lord Jesus was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so the verse says that, "And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the children's crumbs." The first thing I want you to see is that the Lord said it was not even right to give her what she was asking. I want you to think about that. Wasn't even right. It's not, that word meat means it's not even right. He said, "You're asking for something that does not even belong to you, and it's not even right for me to give you what does not even belong to you. It belongs to others." But that's what mercy's all about, isn't it? Amen. Mercy. Mercy. That's what she's crying for, is mercy. I mean, the truth of the matter is we do not deserve any deliverance or any victory in our life. We deserve tonight the eternal judgment of an almighty God. But anything that God has given us is all by grace and all by mercy. It was not even meat. I was not even worthy of it. That's what mercy is all about. I want you to look in the book of Matthew chapter 15 as we try to glean from this text tonight. Verse 22 says, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him and said, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed of a devil." First thing I want you to see is she didn't say, "Lord, have mercy on my daughter." Right. I see, number one, that she declared her failure as a parent.
Right. I want you to see, when she cried for mercy on me, I believe she was acknowledging, because there's something I understand from the Scriptures. Devil possession never occurs in an individual unless a door or a gate of demonic, unclean activity has been allowed to take place for devils to possess an individual.
Do you realize tonight that you living right, praying over your home, raising your children right, keeping them in the ways of God, Satan does not have the ability to just step in my home and possess any of my children at his will. The only way that possession happens is that I, as a parent, do not do my job over my children, sanctifying them, praying over them, keeping them away from unclean activity, watching over their life, keeping them clean and pure as a responsibility I have. This woman looked back, you know what she realized? My daughter is in the shape she's in because I failed as a parent in her life. And she was crying for God to have mercy on her. I do want to say this. Basically, this is a wayward teenager. You cannot hide a rebellious teenager.
That's true.
There's parents that try in our churches all the time. I have parents in my church that try to hide some of their rebellious teenagers, but I'm going to be honest with you. Rebellious teenagers wear it all over them. Can't hide it. And you want to know what happens many times? So many parents are trying so hard to hide the rebellion of their teenager, they'll never get real with God, therefore they'll never get real help. Because they won't get real with God and humble themselves. They're spending their life, their ministry, trying to hide the rebellion of their teenager from everybody else. And trying to do that, you'll never get help from God. Can't hide it. You can see rebellion on church members. I see it in their face. I see it in their actions. I see it in the way they dress. I see in the people they hang around. You cannot hide a rebellious teenager. Can't be done. You can disagree if you want to, but I'm telling you, friend, you can't hide it. You can't. And I've seen some parents destroy their children by, instead of begging God and just everybody sees it, everybody knows it. I mean, I've gone to parents and I've just told them, I said, look, I said, you, everybody in the church is looking at you because they see the rebellion, but you're trying to act like everything's okay. You're trying to cover it up and they're looking at you saying, you're not real. Why don't you just humble yourself before God and admit what the condition is? And then just maybe your children will get some help. What happens here in this portion of Scripture, she cried for mercy. I see she declared her failure as a parent. I've made this statement, and I'm going to make it again. I've made it many times. I made it, Brother Chad Watson's. I've made it to my church many times. If you see this preacher's children go astray, I have failed my children somewhere in their life. I failed them. It was my failure as a father that allowed them to go someplace I should have never allowed them to go. I allowed them to be with a group of people and make poor choices that they should have never been with. I allowed gates and doors to be available to them, to their eyes and their ears, and to be around a crowd they should have never been with. I have failed them and made some very poor decisions that allowed them to get into the situation they're in. We as parents must take responsibility for our actions. And so I see this woman, first of all, crying out for mercy to God because she is admitting her own failure as a parent. She's claiming the responsibility. Now, I'm not saying that everything that your teenagers do, that you're directly responsible because they make those choices. But if they're headed down the rebellious road, you're ultimately responsible at the beginning for allowing things into there. Let me give you an example. I had a woman in my church that would send her teenage son every Friday night of his life, allowed him from the time he was about 10 years old to go to the skating ring and skate every Friday night for about 4 to 5 hours. All that rock music, all the world, all the sensuality, every Friday night she paid and dropped him off and let him go. And by the time he was 16 years old, she was weeping to me in my office with me and my wife. And she said, I don't understand. I've raised him in church and he's overtaken with rap music and rock music and he wants the girls of the world and he don't want to serve God. And I looked at her and I told her, I said, sister, ain't no wonder, because you've allowed him to be in that environment and you put him there and paid for it. You tell him, I don't want you listening to rock music, but you send him to a skating ring to skate to it 6 hours every week.
Exactly.
Keeping your children in church is not enough to make them godly.
Right? That's it.
I hear parents say all the time, well, we have the right Bible. I've raised them in church. I had a guy the other day make this statement in my church. I know his children. I know what he's done. He's not a member of my church. But he said, I've raised my kids right because I've had them in church all their life, and it makes no sense why they went the way they went. I could give him a whole list of why they went the way they went.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just putting them in a Bible-believing church, Brother Caldwell, won't make them turn out right.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right. If that's the case, everybody joins a Bible-believing church is going to end up ultimately godly. That's not true. It's all about choices.
Yes, yes,
choices. Just having a church don't mean you raised them right. What's going on in the home? So I see her declaration as failure. We don't hear anything about the father. She could have been a single mother and a parent. The child may have been born out of an unclean lifestyle. Those are just things that I'm supposing could be the situation. But she's crying. Number two, we see that her responsibility. I want you to all see in verse 22, you know what she does? She cries for mercy. And when she does, she declares two things. I see that she, the declaration of her heart, after all she's heard of him, when she sees him, she has believed everything she's heard about him, and she declares him to be Lord,
right.
Which means he's in control.
Right.
She said, whatever happens here on out in my life, what I'm asking you with what I've heard about you, you're Lord, it's under your control. And she said, thou son of David, you know the next thing she's declaring? She said, you're the king.
Yeah.
She acknowledged him as a king, which means she's acknowledging herself as his servant, him being her master. She's submitting herself to him, and all she's ever done is heard about him.
Right. Yeah, right.
You see, her declaration of him being Lord and being king. Also in verse 22, look what she says. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She is showing and declaring her daughter's desperate condition. I'm talking about Satan has a foothold in this home.
Yeah, right.
Satan has possessed this young girl, this teenage girl, this daughter. Satan, I'm not talking about satanic oppression. Right. I'm talking about satanic possession.
Yeah.
The devil has possessed this teenage girl's body. And I can only imagine the rebellion the mother has dealt with.
Yeah.
I can only imagine the chaos and the confusion and the arguments and the heartache and the hurt that is going on in this home at this present time.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Here's the truth. The truth is, if there's any children anywhere, any teenager anywhere in rebellion, there's only one hope for them. Jesus Christ.
It's
the only deliverance. Jesus Christ is the only deliverance. There's no programs that's going to deliver them from that. I mean, there's no amount of talking them that can just deliver them from that. I'm telling you, it needs a God of glory to step into their life in a supernatural way to do something for them. I've seen a whole family turn around because of one gospel message. One message preached to an individual, and they repented and took the Lord as their Savior, got right over that thing and turned the whole home around. One message. Sometimes it's only one message makes all the difference in the world in a home. Depends on whether you'll listen. If you'll listen, the difference that could be made. There will be no need for counseling sessions if God's people would just listen to what God's man is preaching over the pulpit and obey it and do it. There'd be no need for counseling sessions. My church people, my people get enough counseling from the pulpit. I really should never have to ever sit down with them and tell them anything if they just obey the preaching. We see that she declared him Lord. We see the desperate condition of the daughter. See, the word grievous means heavy, severe, bringing into serious trouble and discomfort, having injurious effects, causing severe hurt and pain. Could you imagine what was going on in this home?
Right.
Vex means to cause, to fret, grieve, to feel unhappy. The mom's not happy. The daughter's not happy. You know what the truth is about rebellious? And that's really not, that's part of the message, and that's not where I want to totally focus. But that I have never met a rebellious teenager that was happy.
Right. Right.
They're not happy. They're miserable.
Right.
They're living in misery. I mean, it's not happy. It is a vexation of unclean spirits. It is grievous. It causes pain and discomfort. And it has injurious effects, causing severe hurt. And pain is what Satan was causing in this family.
Right.
Grievously vexed with the devil. See, she declared the condition. I heard Brother Caldwell say this at my church a few years ago. He said, there would be some children would get some help if some parents would just be willing to admit their children
is being controlled by the devil.
Yeah. Yeah.
You made that
yeah.
statement in my church, Brother Cole.
Exactly.
Let's just be willing to go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what it is. I'm humbling myself. I know that there's a spirit of disobedience, a spirit of disobedience, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's a spirit behind that rebellion.
Right. Yeah.
There's a spirit behind it. So we see the bondage and we see the deliverance that she needs. We see in verse 23, I want you to look at this. And he answered her, not a word.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Think about if you came to your preacher and poured your heart out, fell down before him and started crying. Said, preacher, I mean, my home's destroyed. My daughter's destroyed. I mean, Satan's grievously vexed our home. I need help. Oh, have mercy. Preacher, can't you do something?
Preacher just looks at you and don't say a word.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Some of you get so offended you'd never come back.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of you get so offended that all of a sudden now what happens is the deliverance of your daughter is not the issue. The preacher's the issue.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The reason people never get help is because they're not desperate enough over their condition to not keep themselves from getting sidetracked on some other thing that's going to become the main focus instead of what the main focus really should be.
Right, right.
I want you to think about the offense that she could have had when Jesus, the Son of Almighty God, looks at her, don't even answer her.
Yeah.
Not a word. No word at all. Have you ever prayed and felt like you didn't get a word from God?
Yeah.
You ever pray and feel like God was silent? You know what God wants you to do? It really, He wants to see how bad you want.
Yeah, that's it.
Will you ask and keep on praying?
Yes, sir. Good.
Will you pray and keep on praying? Will you still acknowledge Him for who He is? There are some people, when God does not answer, they get mad at God.
Yeah.
There may be some parents here in this service. There may be some parents in my church. There's some people that actually, the problem is, they're offended at God. They're upset with God over their situation.
Right. Yeah.
They're upset with Him. Have it all with the Lord Himself. So we see that the Lord Jesus was silent. The Bible said He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Not only do we see the discouraging silence, that'd be pretty discouraging. She's discouraged. Here she is. She's traveled a journey. She's come to Him. She's heard about Him. She's humbled herself, fell on her face, cried out Him being Lord and King, and declared the condition, desperate condition of her daughter. And now there's discouraging silence. Jesus is not answering her a word. And then we see the disciples' rejection of her.
Yeah, yeah.
They go and tell Jesus, say, why don't you send her away? She's crying after. She's bothering us. She's crying after us. Why don't you send her away? I cannot tell you how many people that I have dealt with over the years.
They have broken homes, broken marriages, rebellious children. Their sin has destroyed their own life. And they come to church in that condition, really wanting help. But because somebody in the church did not treat them the way they thought they should be treated, now the church is at fault.
Yep. Yeah.
And the church are the bad people. And the pastor is the bad people.
And no longer is it a condition of a daughter that needs deliverance and mercy on her failure as a parent. And now all of a sudden, the issue gets sidetracked. Now it's those people at that church.
Is my problem. Right.
Those people. Listen, she had the silence of the Savior that could have offended her and been a reason for her to be bitter. She had the disciples' rejection. I mean, here's the godly men, and they're rejected. Tell them, go away. Get her away from us.
Yeah.
Just send her up. She's crying after us. She's begging for mercy. She won't help. She's nothing but an old Gentile, Syrophoenician woman from Canaan. Get her away from us, Lord. She's still there. If there's ever a reason for this woman to be so discouraged, to walk away and say, everything I've ever heard about Him ain't true.
Right.
I mean, Him, He can deliver my daughter. There's one thing she knew, though. He's still Lord. He's still the King of glory. He's the one who can give mercy. Ever I have seen and heard what He's done, and I have believed it and embraced it, and I'm just going to stay here like I know I can't get help nowhere. Nobody else is there. The help I need is divine help. Man cannot help me. My family cannot help me. Friends cannot help me. Nobody can help me. I have no help. If I don't get help, it's from Him. Can I tell you, church, that at this moment, she is so tired of the devil having a victory in her home. She's not allowed Him to have any more victory. She is so worn out by the severe hurt and pain and the turmoil and the division and the heartache and the tears and the bound in darkness and the uncleanness that when all these other things are coming at her, they're not the issue.
Yeah.
getting sidetracked on what the issue is.
Right.
If you would get a hold of that tonight, if you need divine deliverance in your life, you know what Satan does? He comes with issues.
Yes, sir.
To where you get so upset by these things that don't matter, but all of a sudden you will never get delivered from those things that God really will deliver you from.
Preacher.
Know what happens? Teenagers in church, they're rebellious. People in church try to help them. The preacher's preaching to them because he sees it. And people are praying for him. And the parent knows it. And all of a sudden what happens now, the people, the teenager goes home and says, those people in that church. And mom and dad says, yeah, those people in that church. And the whole home begins to side against the church because of demonic activity in the home. And I'll tell you what happens. That never be any deliverance. Go ahead, I could write the end of the story how it's going to finish.
Yeah.
Unless somewhere down the line, when your child's on their own, stumbles in after a life of heartache and hurt and severe pain into the old-fashioned church and lets a man of God preach and opens their heart and says, God, have mercy on me.
Amen.
I say, God, turn it around.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There'll never be divine deliverance from anything as long as Satan allows us to make the issue what is not even the issue.
Amen.
Right.
And I've seen all of a sudden, I have seen people say, if it wasn't for that church. And the problem is they came to the church with their problem.
Right.
But now they've been so distorted that now the church is the reason for their problem.
You're right.
When they showed up with the problem.
You're right.
That's also satanic.
Amen.
Satanic.
Right.
Thoughts that all of a sudden attacking God's people. Now we could say the disciples were unkind. And if you didn't know who Jesus was, you would actually, by reading the text, say, he was very disrespectful.
Right.
He wasn't disrespectful.
Right.
He had a purpose. He's trying the heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, he's trying the heart. Many times God is going to try your heart in your situation. So we see the daughter's desperate condition. We see the discouraging silence. We see the disciples' rejection. I want you to see in verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She's declared again, after all this, you know what she says? You're still Lord. You're still in control. I'm acknowledging you as my Lord. If you'll ever just go ahead and settle in your heart, no matter what happens in your life, that he's Lord no matter what, that he's your Lord, and no matter what goes on, she's not mad at him. She's not upset at him. She's not mad at the disciples. She knows if she's going to get any help, it's going to be from him.
Yeah.
And the last thing she needs to do is get upset with him.
Right.
I cannot tell you the church, people in church, and that I have seen point their finger at God and charge God foolishly. Some of you have seen it too. If you pastored any time at all, you've seen it.
Yes, sir.
We see that she cries for help. We see her desire for the divine help, that the Lord is in control. Verse 26, and he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. I want you to see this, that here is the divine Lord of glory declaring this woman to be a dog.
Right. Yep.
Think about all the offenses that are here.
Yes, sir.
That she could have been so tore up off the way and said, he's just like the rest of them.
Right. Yeah.
His disciples. He called me a dog. You know what happens many times? I've seen people get... I've preached this exactly what the Bible says about a sinner. And I've seen people get upset because of what God said.
Yeah.
And
he
mad. Just like Brother Gary was talking about, the preacher preaching to him. You know what he did? He got mad. Got offended is what happened. The Word of God offended him. Truth offended him.
Right.
What happened to this woman? The Lord has given her hard truth. The truth is, he said, you're a dog. Let me be honest with you. How would you take that? I thought, if I'm there and the Lord Jesus looked at me and said, it's not me to give it. These are children. You're nothing but a dog.
Mm.
That could be another reason that she would have walked away bitter.
Absolutely.
She was called a dog. It's a pretty strong terminology.
Yes, sir.
A dog. And here's her reaction in the midst of all of it. Look at her response to everything. Truth, Lord.
Yeah.
She acknowledges truth. There'll never be deliverance till you'll take truth, no matter how hard it is.
Right.
No matter how offensive it may seem to you, if you don't get offended because you're acknowledging truth. You know what happened when God finally was able to reach down and save this old sinner boy? When finally those things that seemed to be so offensive, and I got so mad at the Word of God, I got so mad at the preacher, when I humbled myself and when it came, I just said, I have no defense. Truth.
Amen.
Truth. I'm wicked.
Yeah.
When the preacher used to preach, "You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you would do." I remember leaving church saying these words to my sister. Who does the preacher think he is? Tell me I'm a child of God.
Yeah,
I took offense to that.
Sure.
That offended a child of, I mean, I might do some bad things, but a child of the devil, he's crazy.
Yeah.
Child of the devil. No child of the devil. I took offense to that.
Yeah.
You know what happened when the gospel finally done its work? I said, "Oh God, I'm a child of the devil."
It is.
I wasn't offended. I said, "Truth, Lord."
Yeah.
"Truth, Lord. The wicked shall be turned into hell." "Truth, Lord. I'm wicked. I'm going to be turned into hell if it's not but for the grace of God reaching me." "Hey, you have sinned and come short of the glory of God." "Truth, Lord. You're unworthy to turn of hell." "Truth, Lord. That's what you said, truth."
Yeah.
That's what true repentance is.
Exactly.
Yes, sir, preacher.
What this woman's doing every time the Lord, everything happening, we see her disposition. We see her declaring her repentance openly by her actions.
Absolutely.
Truthful. You don't know why people don't get help in our churches sometimes? They're not willing to receive truth.
Right.
Oh, anybody can take this prophesying thus smooth things, prophet. Don't say anything that can be offensive. Listen, if I offend you by my wrong words, listen, shame on me, I'll answer to God. But I'm going to tell you, there's enough in this book. If we'll just stick to this Bible, it's offensive enough to a sinner.
Amen.
Without me offending them.
Right.
She acknowledges truth. We see the disciples' rejection, her desire for divine help. We see that the Lord, this divine Savior, declared her to be a dog. You realize what she said? Look what she said. "Truth, Lord. Truth, I am." You know what she said? "I'm a dog. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." You know what she said? She said, "Yes, Lord, I'm a dog, but right now I want to be your dog."
That's exactly right.
You're the master. They're your children. But I just want to be under your table.
Yeah, buddy.
I may be a dog, but if I'm being old, I know that you're the Lord. I know that you're the King. If you just allow me to be your dog, because even the children speak, if the dogs get to eat under the table of the crumbs. You see her humility? Just let me be up under the table.
Yeah.
You know what they will scientifically tell you through studies? There's every bit of the ingredients that's in the whole loaf of bread. All those ingredients can be found in one crumb.
Yeah.
You'll just get a crumb from the Christ. Amen. The Christ of glory. All you take is a crumb. She said, "Truth, Lord." Yet the dog, here's also what she knows, that a righteous man cared for the life of his beast.
Yes,
sir.
Yeah. I said, "I know that if you'll let me be your dog, you'll take care of me."
Amen.
Because you're righteous. And a righteous man cared for the life of his beast.
Yeah.
Listen, why is it sometimes that we get to the place that we're so full of pride that we have to be somewhere, or be sitting at the table, or be by the Lord's side? This woman was so humble. She said, "Just let me sit under your table."
Right.
You're right, I'm a dog. You know what the sharp truth reality is? We were all nothing but a bunch of dogs.
That's right.
You're a dog.
That's right.
See it? That's the good news. You're a dog. That's what the Lord said. You know what we all have to say if we're right with God? Well, that's the truth. Anything I've got is by the grace of God. God's grace. We see her declaring the truth, accepting the fact that she is a dog. She declares in verse 27, when she says that, she declares her unworthy condition. She's not even worthy of what the Lord's going to do. All these reasons she had, I want you to look at verse 9. I'm going to finish up here in just a few minutes. Look at verse 28. "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith." Didn't call her a dog after that, called her a woman. Then he said, "Great is thy faith, be it unto thee as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know what's going to happen? You're never going to get divine deliverance until you walk by faith. You're going to have to believe what God said in His Word. There's going to be a lot of things trying to discourage you to not believe the Word of God.
Amen.
And she never got help. The Lord declared her to be a woman of faith.
Right.
A woman of faith.
out of all the obstacles that she faced, all the things that come against her, the Lord said to her, "Great is thy faith." The Lord said that she had a devout faith, and that here she is talking to a divine God in need of help and in need of mercy, and God is fixing to grant to her something that she does not deserve. She's unworthy. He said she's unworthy. She said herself she's unworthy. To the point that she's even declared herself, "Truth, Lord, I'm a dog." And Jesus said, "It's not even right for me to do for you what you're asking."
Right.
But He's fixing to display mercy where mercy's needed. Amen. Look what happens. He said, "Great is thy faith." The last thing I want you to see is the daughter receives divine deliverance. Deliverance comes. We see all that had to take place for the deliverance. I want you to look in verse 29 of this same chapter. What happens after this? The Bible says that her daughter was made whole that very hour. If you read back over there in the book of Mark where we was at, when the woman went home, you know what she found? The Bible says her daughter was laying on the bed. She came home to a peaceful home. Let me read it to you. I want you to see that. Look at it. Turn over there where we were at. Look back in the book of Mark, chapter 7. The Lord said to her, look at verse 30, "When she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed." You know what her true desire was? For peace. Tonight, I want a peaceful home. I want peaceful children. She came out, the Lord had done the work, and when she left, I don't believe she left there with doubt. When the Lord said, the Bible said, that very hour her daughter was healed, she was a woman of faith, she believed God, she embraced the Lord. There's people in our churches will never get any help because they will never believe God.
Right.
And what happens, we get burned many times over a condition in our life just for a moment. In a matter of hours or a day or 2 days, it passes by. Something else becomes an issue. There's peace. The Lord granted and gave peace. Can I tell you, a peaceful home is a wonderful thing?
Amen.
Peaceful home is a wonderful thing. She could not change condition herself. I've seen parents about ready to pull their hair out with what's going on in their home and their children and everything else, and they feel like there's no hope. I'm telling you, with God, there is hope. The Lord Jesus can change the situation, can change the condition, if the parents would just get real and serious with God. I think if we would weep as much over our children before they got into any kind of shape, as much as people do weep over them when they get in trouble, make their kept them out of trouble.
Yep.
We see the divine deliverance that came. Look what happens in verse 29. "And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at His feet. And He healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed be whole, and the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of glory." After reading that, I say, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I tried to give you a short version of the message tonight because there's two preachers. But if we're ever going to get any kind of divine help from God, we're going to have to follow the same example that this Syrophoenician Canaanite woman from Canaan, how she got help from God. You have to love the Lord. Keep trusting Him. Believe in Him. There's going to be issue after issue after issue. I have seen parents come to me because in my own church last year, there was a teenage boy that was rebelling against his mom and dad. And one of the men in my church, one of the adults, went to him and said, "Son, I'm praying for you. God don't want you to live like you're living. I'm sure you're breaking your mom and daddy's heart." And the mom and dad got mad at him. Got mad at what his business.
Yeah.
And he did it with the right shirt. What his business? Because he's thinking, now everybody's going to know that he said that. And everybody's going to get spread around the church. I'm telling you, you can't hide a rebellious teenager.
Right.
Everybody already knows it.
Yeah.
Everybody already sees it. And the situation is now they're sidetracked. The boys, mom and dad are yoked up because this stone the church did, and the boy ain't coming back to church because this man went and said, I'm praying for you. I know you're breaking your mom and daddy's heart, son. God's not for what you're doing. I'm praying for you to get right. And now the issue is the church. The issue's with somebody in the church. And there'll never be any deliverance.
That's right.
There won't be. There can't be. Thank God
for divine deliverance. And we'll get it from that example. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the message that you've given us tonight. May you touch our heart, Lord, not just with children. I know the example was there. But Lord, other things in our lives that comes in that we must get deliverance from and need deliverance. May we find ourselves like the Syrophoenician woman. Take her example. Humble ourselves at the feet of the Lord Jesus and stay there, praying and begging, acknowledging Him for who He is, and trusting and believing until you grant that deliverance that you give by mercy. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus.